Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on a very dark night in Manhattan. And I'm joined by my two compatriots, Mark and Heather. Where are you guys? Heather, where
are
you?
Yes, this is Heather Rowan Robbins. I was in northern North Dakota for the weekend, but I just got in recently, and I'm back in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. And Mark?
And this is Mark Waltz, and I am in New York, and we're getting just a little taste of what the weather is like out where Heather is.
I hear you've got it really cold there
down.
This weekend.
Yeah.
It was cold, but it's not like, I hear Minneapolis has been 15 below, right?
Yes, it was
we don't
for
do
a couple
that
of days
here.
There.
Yeah.
There's some kind of a local ordinance against that here.
I took the train through Grand Forks on the way to North Dakota, and it was minus 25 there.
Wow.
Great.
It was minus 45. It was minus 45 up in International Falls.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the kind of weather where you have icicles in your beard and, you know,
yeah.
Well, you don't. But
right, in your nose hairs just walk into the car. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I see people, it was 20 degrees, it got all the way up to a balmy 20 degrees while I was in North Dakota, and people were just, oh, how warm it is, and they're walking out without their hats on because it was so warm at 20 degrees. So it's all relative.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
You're like,
whatever
wow.
You're used to.
How cold is that, you know? Kind of, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's
but
chilly.
Yeah.
So we have an exciting week this week. Busy kind of thing. And just amazing stuff, I think. You know, we're entering this. We had this new cycle start last week. I know for me, it felt like, oh, my God, Jupiter's arrived. What's happened here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just kind of felt like there was all this new energy flying around with all the fire. And in my house, I have some fire cats. So the fire cats were very excited and
mm-hmm.
jumping and singing.
I
and
bet.
Yeah, they were really pretty busy. So, yeah, it was kind of exciting. So, you know, we kind of watch that and you go, wow, what's that all about? So they were dancing and singing, and the little Taurus cat was hiding under the bed going, when are they going to leave me alone? I want them to leave me alone. So it was kind of fun. So it was a good time. And we have Saturn stationing this week, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
Stopping at number 17, and going backwards until the middle of October.
Feels like a bingo call.
It does.
Number 17.
Yeah. So I think it'll
and
be
fun. And how do you see Saturn stationing?
How do I see it? Well, you know, we know he really doesn't stop. But from our perception
right.
here on Earth, because we are now into the air planets of Aquarius, we're in a trine to Saturn in Libra. So while between the time of Aquarius and Gemini, air to air, Saturn's going to appear to go backwards because we're going faster than he is around the sun. And once we get to Gemini, he'll look like he stops again and goes forward. So it's an apparent optical illusion, but they did notice that when planets go backwards, we all know Mercury retrograde, that the big guys go backwards too. Now, in any given year, half the people born have a retrograde planet and half the people born have a direct. So for the people with Saturn retrograde, this tends to be a time when things speed up. And for the people with Saturn direct, it tends to be the sign when things slow down. And we have an opportunity to revise and revisit. We never just charge forward. It's always two steps forward, one step back. And that's kind of how the Zodiac works, too. It's not just a Paula Abdul song. And I find that when we have this, we say, I did two steps forward, now I'm going to go one step back because I'm not quite ready to go completely forward. And we have this bouncy kind of happy energy. And it's really fun. You know, I definitely find this kind of stuff interesting and fun. And we really are just like, okay, you know, I'm ready to go. And I think if we look at it as a, you know, an opportunity to revise the stuff we've been working on, we'll find that we're really actually ready for a bunch of things to change or repeat or change or shift or whatever, because the retrograde we redo. And for the people with it retrograde who felt like they're spinning their wheels and not going forward, they're going to start getting yeses. And it's a nice shift in energy. It always helps to bring things to concentrated energy. When a planet stops, we really become aware of the nature of the planet. And this is, of course, bringing up the Iran-Contra years 81. And there was a guy in the New York Times this week, Dewey, who worked with Oliver North doing Iran-Contra things, and he apparently runs spies out from his house in San Diego or wherever he lives. You know, he does it now, kind of rogue CIA guy, you know, running spies in foreign countries for the American government. And he's talking about, you know, Oliver North, and he sends dispatches, and I'm like going, oh, my God, you know, like these people are still doing our foreign policy. And it was in the Times this weekend. So you gotta love the cycles repeating. So for all of us, 1981 is up,
mm-hmm.
because that's where Saturn was at this point in time. And if you really mm-hmm. are old, 52 is where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really old, 22. So in each 30-year cycle, Saturn was in Libra, or your parents, or your whatever, mm-hmm. you know, that cycle then began then. So it's an interesting time. So,
it is.
Yeah. So that's
another
what I'm looking
cycle
at.
I want to mention is, you know, we talked about Jupiter just going into Aries,
mm-hmm.
and the incredible, you know, suddenly no one has any patience. They're cheerful about it, but they have no patience at this feeling, this urgency of getting on with the next stage of their life. And I'm hearing all sorts of log jams in people's lives in response to this. Suddenly, I have no patience.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, you know, I'm watching what happened in Tunisia and throughout all of the Arab world when this, you know, just okay is not going to cut it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This impatience to have freedom or to have the willfulness, the will expressed of Jupiter just heading into Aries last week. But it's a very fresh energy. And we can think back to the last three times that Jupiter was in Aries to think how it fits in our chart in our lives. And if we want to go back to April of 75 to 76 and March 87 to 88, March 88, and March 99 to 2000, where our last three times that Jupiter was in Aries. And thinking back on it, last time Jupiter was in Aries, I quit my last major day job and became a full-time astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
I've just taken on little odds and ends since then, tutored here and there. But it was a really kind of a freedom of just kind of stepping forward into the next phase of my work then, and I'm feeling that again this spring, this winter, as Jupiter enters Aries.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking back on our lives, where was that burst of freedom?
Mm-hmm.
Can we use this in a good way, this burst of freedom? 1975, 76, 87, 88, or 99 to 2000, from spring to spring.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because that time was when I said I wanted to be an astrologer full-time too.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a little longer. I needed to get a little push out of the nest with buildings blowing up a house a couple blocks from my office on 9/11. But I did
get to,
I don't want to be doing corporate work anymore. It's time for me to
mm-hmm.
go do something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to keep track of vending machines for Pepsi. And it was an interesting time because if I think back on also, you know, if we correlate it a little bit further back, Saturn went into Aries
mm-hmm.
in spring of 96. And Jupiter and Saturn met, because they're going to also have an opposition this spring, part
mm-hmm.
three.
Mm-hmm.
They met in the spring of 2000. So in the spring of 2000, May of 2000, they had a conjunction right after Jupiter went into Aries and said,
mm-hmm.
okay, we're in Taurus now. What are we going to grow for the next 20 years? And for me, that was, okay, I really do want to grow my astrology practice. And, it, you know, it had been growing,
mm-hmm.
but it was more of a hobby. And then it was like, okay, we're going to make this a business. And now 10 years later, you know, I'm doing the astrology full-time, which is good. And it's like, okay, now how do we grow it next? What's the next chapter?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, a lot of times it was an interesting, there's an interesting YouTube with Steve Jobs from Apple. And he said, often you can't tell what the direction things are going to happen when you're looking forward. But in looking backwards, you can connect the dots. And I think that is part of the cycle. So the quote actually, because I was reading it for working on it for something else, he wrote, of course it's impossible. He was doing a graduation commencement speech at Stanford University. Of course it's impossible to connect the dots looking forward when I was in college, but it was very, very clear looking backwards 10 years later. Again, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever, because believing that the dots will connect down the road will give you the confidence to follow your heart, even when it leads you off the well-worn path, and that will make all the difference. And I think, you know, we're at this turning point with a new cycle starting, and also an assessment of the cycle that we've been working under since June of 2000, where we say, gee, you know, do I like what I'm doing? How is this going for me? What do I need to do next? And I think that also is part of what this energy is about, that sense of, I don't have any time. I got to get busy. What am I going to do? You know, it kind of the panic, not panic's the wrong word, but the sense of, oh my God, what next? And I think that fire burst, you know, of springtime and Aries where it pops out and says, oh, I got to be me. I got to do it. And I think we're all feeling it on some level. I certainly know in my house with the cats we're feeling it. I got to be me and beat up my sibling, you know, or my, I don't guess they aren't really siblings because they're not from the same litter. Housemate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where's the sense of new beginning? Where's the sense of burst of life in the chart? Mark, what are you seeing?
Well, the Saturn station is always a big deal. And, you know, Saturn moves slowly and deliberately. And it's that slow and deliberate part of us. And whenever it stops, it takes a long, slow look all around the room, all around the house, all around the neighborhood, and sees where everything is and says, how are we going to work this? And so it's a moment where there's that deliberate look and suddenly things seem scarily real.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll pass after Saturn starts backing up, you know, because he's picking which tools to use when going backwards in order to reshape some of the way this thing has come together. So Saturn looking around the house is saying, what are we going to change? Saturn looking around the neighborhood, how are we going to do something different here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So there is, in the moment of the station, there's that feeling of appraisal. And it's a little scary because, you know, we're such creatures of habit. We just don't. We resist those kind of changes because these are changes to structure.
Yeah.
And but Saturn is saying, you know, there are going to be some changes made. and then when he starts moving backward, you know, it's sort of, there's a feeling that, okay, the projects have been named, and now it's just a matter of doing it. And, you know, like it or not, we realize, okay, there's a plan, now we're going to do it. But it feels a little scary when Saturn stops because there is that thing going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't want our pet project to be looked at too hard. but if it is, we also know that it's a realistic look. So Saturn is tough that way. And it only happens twice a year, once when Saturn stops to go backward, and then 5 months later when he turns around to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
But both of those times is that, like, everything is held in suspension for a moment. And then, you know, it just, suddenly there's a plan and there's a toolbox and we're meant to use it. So anyway, that's what I feel when Saturn is turning around. And so that's what we're meant to do right now, is, you know, have that tough look around and say, okay, what needs to be realigned here?
Mm-hmm.
What's not City.
Was not working the way we wanted to.
Yeah. Exactly. And that, those are good questions,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it's a little awkward when it happens at the same time that Jupiter has just burst into Aries.
Right.
Because, you know, Jupiter is all about, you know, let's not stop and look around. Let's, you know, we're suddenly it's an open field. Let's run.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just use up energy. The more the merrier. And, you know, so that we have a, I mean, they'll be moving into opposition formally. You know, Jupiter going through Aries is going to be opposite Saturn and Libra.
Mm-hmm.
But the feeling between them this week is already in opposition. Because
yeah.
Jupiter has all that big excitement around it, and Saturn is saying, I'm taking a better look around.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. They're giving us exactly opposite.
Yeah, not exactly opposite, but the feeling that we're getting from each.
Yeah, the information is opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, yeah, when we see that, it also, I know for me, you know, I had this whole thing of, okay, I am feeling really out of control and unorganized. My little Virgo part kicked in. I'm like, all right, this is the new plan, you know. So I laid out the plan over the weekend. And then today I was like, oh, no, this is restrictive.
Right.
That's why it's a new plan, you know. It's like to get me organized. But then I was like,
yeah.
Really? You know, I have to do this? Oh, yeah, you know, I do. I just made a commitment to it yesterday. You know, now I'm changing it. But it's
yeah,
that sense
of
you want to commit to something. Yeah, because it's like too much going all around. So I felt out of control. But then at the same time when I did it, it was like, oh, wow, then that means that this is what I do now. Oh, really? I kind of wanted to go do that. No, this is when you dedicated the time to do this. None of this fly-by-night stuff, Anne. You know, and it was kind of like I was yelling at myself earlier today, and I'm like, well, you know, it's my plan. I can change it. You know, you just put it in place on Saturday, you know. And it's like, all right, whatever. It's a push-me-pull-you energy where you feel like one part's pushing, one part's pulling, and they're both going in opposite directions because they both want you to just focus on different things.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have Mercury squaring Saturn along with that.
Yes. And how is that going to show up? What do you think that's going to do?
Well, you got Saturn taking this real heavy look around and Mercury feeling pretty frisky, having finally got up to speed after his retrograde. And, you know, he's in Capricorn, which slows him down a little. So he relates well to Saturn right now, but still Mercury would like to keep moving. So it's kind of like Saturn is throwing a lasso around Mercury because Mercury is still charging forward and Saturn is stopping to go backward. So he's like suddenly a big drag on Mercury. Mercury being our minds and how we communicate and how that mind just keeps spinning out thoughts, right? And suddenly there's this, it feels like a dead weight of Saturn saying, not so fast. So if it's, you know, the full feeling of Mercury in Capricorn is accentuated by having Saturn over there in Libra suddenly moving backward. And so I think what we'll feel is the kind of constraint on our communications. We'll feel a lot more, you know, like we'll feel like we have it together, we're ready to speak out on it, and yet something's holding us back. So it's a little tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a balance.
And it does take that formalized thinking that comes from that Mercury Saturn square, formalized thinking. You know, it's difficult, and we chew on it, and we argue over it, and we debate with it, especially because it's Mercury in Capricorn, which is so tenacious a debater right now. But it's also the aspect that I used to see most often in people that finish a book, a Mercury-Saturn conjunction, Mercury-Saturn square, or Mercury-Saturn opposition, were more likely to finish a book finish their PhD, complete a long and in-depth project where their mind had to just stick on something and not let go. So right now I think that our mind can get stuck. Let's get it stuck on something that we like instead of watch out the tendency for our mind to get obsessive right now and find something that we want it to chew on. And if we, if it's got, you know, it's like if the dog's chewing on your shoe, you take the shoe away and give it a bone. If we don't like what our mind is chewing on at 2 o'clock in the morning, it starts to obsess and get difficult. What do we want it to concentrate on and chew on while it's in that, you know, tenacious phase?
Yeah, because chew we must.
Yeah, because we're going to have the mulling piece, but yeah.
Right. Because with Sun coming to conjunct Mars and them moving into they're going to be semi-sextiling or semi-squaring Uranus. They're going to be pretty irritable next week. And starting now, it's good for us to notice what our mind decides to chew on and make sure it has something worthwhile.
Yeah, I think the irritable is a good thing to talk about because we forget, you know, I mean, we always try and do, in this show at least, the positive version of how you can feel the energy. But there are the lower forms that do show up. And one of the things with Saturn and Mercury this week, and next week is a passel of energy. Make sure to tune in next week. There's like so much going on. But this week, the Saturn-Mercury square can make you feel like, look at what I've done with my life. I haven't measured up. Because Mercury is in Capricorn, so he's paying attention. And he's being very serious-minded, and he's assessing where he is. And then he's squaring Saturn, and he's saying to Saturn, well, you know, I haven't done anything. And Saturn and Libra's like, well, you know, yeah, you're right. You know, you need to do... And so there's this quality with that square, I find, at least in my chart, and maybe it's because I have a Mercury-Saturn aspect, but I find I tend to be hard on myself. You know, or people are hard on me, you know, or I'll feel criticism more sensitively because Mercury, Saturn were more attuned to the critical voices, perhaps, than the happy voices, you know. So, like, I had dinner with a Capricorn friend tonight who always is Capricornian. And, you know, we were talking and it was kind of like Mercury Capricorn, like, well, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? It was very practical Capricorn. Well, and it's not, we have to move it along at a certain pace and it very Capricorn. And I think we're all going to find ourselves going, well, I want to have had more progress than I've had, but then we forget to turn around and look at where we are. I remember when we were in a sales school when I was a baby, they would lock you up for a week, you know, in like a boot camp, for lack of a better word, and pour skills in your brain. And we were about halfway through, and everybody was totally frazzled and feeling like they were going to, you know, burn out and melt and whatever. And the woman who ran the training program stood in front of the class. She goes, okay, we're going to talk skiing. And everybody's like, you know, we are not in the mood to listen to you. We have all these projects. We have deadlines. She's like, have you ever skied? And, you know, you're on the top of the hill and you're looking down at the hill and it's like really looks scary. And, you know, if you haven't skied, just imagine when you watch the Olympics or something. And you're looking down that hill and you're looking at all that to come. And then you push off and you go down the hill. And, you know, there comes a point where you stop halfway down and you turn around and you look back at all you've skied down. And you go, wow, look at how far I have come. And then when you turn around, the rest of the hill doesn't look nearly as scary because you realized, you know, how far you've actually come. And then she proceeded to tell us all the things we had accomplished up until that point in the week, which, of course, then you went, yeah, you know, you're right. We did shift. We did change. We did have progress that was forward moving. And I think that's also Mercury Saturn. It wants to say, well, what progress have you done? What actually have you done for me lately? And so have your list of accomplishments.
Yeah, Saturn likes the concrete.
Likes the concrete. Have your list of what you've accomplished. Well, I did this and this and this and this. and this and this and this and this. I didn't do that yet, but it's on my list, you know. And if you do that, that can help a lot when the critical voice comes in and goes, well, what actually did you do? Or when the boss goes, well, how come you didn't do that yet? And you're like, because I was doing all this other stuff you gave me to do, you know. And you're like, you know, don't they understand how long these things take? And the answer is no, because Mercury and Saturn talking to each other think it should be done magically with no time at all. And so don't do that to yourself. You know, give yourself the, okay, these things take time. Be nice to yourself. It's a week to focus on being nice to ourselves rather than criticizing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yes.
Exciting. Yeah. Mark, comments?
Yeah, you can be nice to yourself if you feel the criticism coming up. And then, you know, if it's not harsh, you still want to use that that appraisal that's going on. So I guess it's actually more if it's coming from outside of you, see if you can answer to it inside. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, if it's putting you on the track of saying, oh, what am I going to do here, then you want to work with that as it is. But if you're getting that harsh voice that Anne's talking about, then check and see how you can just answer to that from inside.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that criticism from the boss.
Right.
Or if you do, it doesn't feel as harsh. It's more just a voice you needed to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think also with the, you know, I had a reading today and the woman we were talking and I said something, sorry, I've done that. And I didn't even finish the sentence. I already did that. I'm like, okay, really? You know, you don't even know what I was going to suggest. But it's also the week where we jump ahead and don't listen because Mercury squares Saturn, which I think is the other part of it too. I already know what you're going to say, and I don't have to listen to you.
Right.
That's Mercury squares Saturn. So change it up this week. Say something different that they don't really anticipate. Did you clean up your shoes? No. Oh, by the way, I gave your shoes to Goodwill, you know. Because I already know what you're going to say, Mercury Square Saturn. You don't need to tell it to me again. I don't need to hear it from you. Okay, fine. There's an easier way. I don't care. Yeah.
But it is a good time to, I'd say, work over the logistics. That tenacious mind of ours will grumble about it while we do it, but we can plow through paperwork in a way that's often very hard to do, and we certainly won't feel like doing next week. So I'd say give it a shot now.
Yeah, this is the week to do it.
Do we want to take the any callers on the line? Want to give out our number?
We have a lot of callers, actually. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 with their hands raised.
Wonderful.
Wow. I'm feeling popular. All right. Good. And we had a write-in, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's... eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay. 336. Hello. How are you? You're on the air. Hello, 336.
336, 501.
501, you're on the air. Mm-hmm.
Hi, how y'all doing? I just want to tell y'all I really love you guys.
Oh, good.
Yeah, this has been making a really big change in my life, listening to you all.
Mm-hmm.
You probably already know my chart, 321, 74.
You can give it to us again, and we've got a lot of callers on the line, so we're going to keep it short today, so keep us a focused question. What was your birthday again, hon?
3/21/74, March 21st, 1974.
Mhm.
1974. Yes. 12:32 a.m. Greensboro, North Carolina.
Mhm. And what can we do for you today?
Just looking at the effect of Jupiter going into Aries and my natal Jupiter being in Pisces. The water. I'm just wondering, you know, just want to know what is the actual.
Well, Jupiter's right on your sun.
Yeah.
Your sun is 0 degrees Aries.
Mm-hmm.
So Jupiter's sitting right on your sun as it turns and saying, you know, you want to be visible. You want to be expansive. You want to be seen.
Mm-hmm. And you're starting a new 12-year cycle about how you shine in the world and how your what your belief systems are about things. And it's also trining your ascendant, saying expand, expand. You know, keep learning, keep searching, keep finding. And with Neptune, Sag, and your ascendant, there's this very strong energy for you around the quest. So think back to what was going on in the February of 95 or 99. You started a new cycle then. And in the spring of 87, a new cycle then. And you're having that same energy now. And it's huge. It's a very fast-moving, quick year around home and family, and then you're going to be off into relationships in about 2 months, 3 months. Big, big stuff. So forward you go. Yeah. So cool.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hang in there.
Great.
Keep,
good luck.
Keep checking in.
All right.
All right. Hang on. Let me pick up the next caller. Hello, you are 917. How are you? Hello?
Hello?
917's not there. Okay.
Okay, try another one.
All right. Sometimes they raise their hand and they don't want to be called on. All right, 913. You there, 552?
I am here.
Cool.
Thank you. Yeah. My birth date is 6/21/57.
Mm-hmm.
Birth time, 7:51 a.m., Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City.
7:51 a.m.
And what was the birthday again?
6/21/57.
Okay. And the question, June 21st, 1957, 7:51 in the morning to Kansas City. We love Kansas
Missouri.
City. Yep.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, my question,
mm-hmm.
that in that whole idea, that sense of new beginnings and everything that you guys were saying on, you know, looking back to those three, 75, 76, and so on, I look back at that, and it's like everything for me evolved around, you know, getting out of high school and then, you know, two kids and then two more kids came along in that last one. Well, obviously, I'm past the having any more kids.
Okay. You're going to do it differently this time.
Yeah, you just get to give new birth to a new kind of life.
Well, you are a moon in Aries.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Jupiter goes into Aries, it hits your moon in Aries and wakes up your possibility of what do you mother?
Yep.
Now, you have, it also enters into your ninth house of learning, expansion. I have a feeling your children, being a mother was a hell of a learning curve for you.
Oh, yeah.
And it pushed you and helped you learn and helped you learn so that you could be a better mother, but expanded your world in strange ways. And this time you get to expand your world and learn new things, but you don't have to do it through your children.
Well,
how else do you want to live out your ninth house?
I've been taking classes beginning of this year, just so far.
Perfect.
Already done.
That's
Reiki
Jupiter
level
and
one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pursuing that, but also I'm going to be beginning a new class called Psychic Science.
Called what?
You're developing. It's called Psychic Sciences.
Interesting.
And I'm going to be taking that, but I also like sewing and those kind of things. And I'm also reading a book on getting clear. I'm just wondering if those are going to be the types of things that will open up doors
absolutely.
For me.
Yeah.
But when
absolutely.
I'm over in Ireland, because I'm going back in March. I mean, that's I live both there and here.
Yeah.
And that ninth house is learning. It's also faraway places.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have your moon in the house of faraway places. You're at home in foreign countries. So you are at home equally here and there, it sounds like.
Okay. Does that look like the things that I'm pursuing, you know, as far as the things that are my passion, which are this type of subject, which, by the way, you guys do a really fabulous job of explaining things in a philosophical way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do really well
we love
on
it.
That. I appreciate that. So I'm just wondering, am I on the right track as far as my, does my chart support me being able to excel in this, these interests in this field as far as earning, you know?
Yeah, totally. You've got the Mars Uranus is in the 12th house of connections to spirit and having a very unusual spiritual path relative to maybe the way you were raised. But that you have your own version. You kind of invent your own, I don't want to say your own faith, but your own interpretation of the faith that allows you to be playful, creative, and really understand love as love as faith, love as belief. And it trines your Saturn and Sag in the fifth that says, karmically understanding that creative juices. So taking a course, Saturn and Sag says, I take courses in what I'm interested in. So taking a course under this one is a totally good use of that energy, especially around courses about working with the higher mind or courses about connecting you to faith. So your version of faith, not like traditional religious stuff. But and you are kind of a little bit of a pioneer with all that fire energy. So it's really just listening to, say, the voices say, go left, or this book looks interesting, or let me just try this. And in hindsight, you know that the work of your life, largely, you know, the first couple chapters have been children. And so now you're giving birth to creating you on a new level and what that vision looks like. It'll get clearer as you get further into the cycle.
And
probably in March,
about
the time you're going to Spain, or to Ireland, rather.
And those subject matters have always been with me since I was a young kid.
Yeah, you had a very deep inner world. You know, your feelings weren't, you've got a very extroverted, outgoing side, but then a very private inner world that, you know, was well-populated, curious about the intuitive realm and other worlds and the dream realm. And you're very good at handling groups. You know, not only are you a natural teacher, but you're really good at getting a group of people to work together and getting a group of people to explore the intuitive world. You're born naturally with the Sun trine Neptune, very intuitive, magical side to you. And I think the children were really grounding and helped you go back into the spiritual realm with a little bit more grounding than you had as a kid. Because you needed to, you didn't need to open up your intuition. You needed to get practical and solid and sane and concrete enough to handle the currency coming through you.
Oh, and if people would tell you that about me, that that's how they describe me, as practical and solid and logical. But
it's been really important to get there.
Yeah. May I ask a question about Saturn? Like, in my chart, Saturn is retrograde, you know, my natal chart, and Sag in the fifth. So, forgive me for, you know, this, you might have gone over this already, or it hasn't sunk in, but when planets are retrograde in a person's chart, what is the big impact that a person would want to look at that? I mean, you don't take it the same way, you don't read it the same way, correct?
Right. You read it slightly differently.
And how is that? I mean, how
Mark,
do you
Mark has a really good,
retrograde?
Yeah, Mark has a good definition of that. Mark, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I forgot what it is, though.
No, when planets are retrograde.
Yeah. It's a unique way, it's an unusual approach to it.
Right.
Usually a retrograde planet, that there's some karmic history that you have around that issue.
Around the issue.
So it doesn't go in the straightforward textbook pattern. It goes in your own unique approach. Mercury retrograde people often have their own unique approach to communication. They can be unusually good communicators. They can have very good minds, but it's very particularly them. Marie Curie is a woman who had Mercury retrograde. Very good mind, but it was very specific on what it was focused upon.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not communicate as directly and easily as other people, but they often communicate with more poetry or more finesse or understanding the questions underneath something.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find your own way and definition to it. For you, around Saturn, it is finding your own way to work, but you didn't find an easy, ordinary, one from column A, two from column B approach to your life's work. And that you, combine Saturn retrograde combined with the Moon in Aries, have had a few issues with authority figures over the years. That you may not have really felt comfortable trusting other people's authority, and therefore have sometimes had a little trouble taking on your own authority. So finding good models that you like about how people use authority that you can respect in the world, and ways that you can model it so that you can step into your own authority in a good way, is a piece of your work.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
I believe it does. Now I can take that and apply that to Neptune retrograde and Chiron retrograde
exactly.
as well.
Yeah, the whole premise of retrograde planets, when they're outer planets, not so much Mercury and Venus because they're inner, but any of the big guys, Mars on out, is that those planets are opposite the sun. So they're on the far side of the chart from the sun. So the sun is where we focus our attention, and we feel very comfortable with that. So those planets also developmentally tend to happen for us a little later, or perhaps that influence was missing from our life. So for you, you know, when you were 16, almost 17, there was some kind of really big wound through relationship, because and it may have made you relationship shy. And Saturn retrograde at 9:36 says somehow your father figures or your authority figures disappeared when you were around nine and a half in a month, you know, 9 and 7 months. That somehow the you were aware of the absence of the parent, the absence of the good authority. And, you know, because it's on the far side of the chart from the light, it says, I don't really know how to integrate that. And it's it's kind of almost a natural opposition, not always an opposition, but it's over there on the far side, and it's kind of like on the other side of the table. And so you say to Saturn, can you pass me some authority? And he goes, I don't think so, you know. And you're like, what's the problem with that? Because he doesn't respond maybe as the way you would want, or the vision you would have. And so then as you grow, it's an area that you work in. And now with the retrograde happening, your retrograde planet wakes up and goes, okay, where the rest of the world's going backwards, your chart goes, okay, now I'm ready to go forward now because I'm retrograde, and my retrograde planet just woke up because the planet in the heaven is mimicking my natal condition. So it's an interesting, and because it's only retrograde for a few months, it's the rest of us have it direct for 8 months, you have it retrograde for 5 months, 4 months. You know, we get a little more used to it because it's direct. It's an interesting phenomenon, and because we face the light, we have our back to those planets. Imagine yourself standing in the middle of your chair gazing at your sun, because that's where your eyes are drawn. So those planets are behind you, and they kind of put their fingers over your head, like, you know, when you're taking a picture with kids, and they go, nee, 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 and you're like, what? And you have to turn around to engage them.
Oh,
and you have to consciously engage them.
But
they are still there. And what often can happen when they're retrograde is other people do them for you because they're behind you and you don't necessarily know they're yours.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a really interesting phenomena, the retrograde process.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And I appreciate you taking the time to explain that to me. I hope that maybe helped other people.
Yeah, because if you have a retrograde planet, it does
well,
it. It's got its own
everybody
life.
Everybody brings up a question that we can answer in a way that everybody can learn. It's really wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good question.
Thank you very much.
Statistically, a little bit fewer than half the population has a retrograde Saturn.
Would that be the same then with the Neptune, too?
Yep.
Okay, got it. Yeah, because they're slower-moving outer planets. Yeah. And that large, okay,
right.
Okay. All right.
And they actually, retrogrades take place between light, you know, like you're a fire Saturn. So when it's Aries and Leo, when the sun that in between the place of Aries and Leo, Saturn will be retrograde. So if you know what sign the person's sun sign, you can usually tell if they have a retrograde planet, because if it's on the other side, and it's in the in that place between the two trines, it'll be retrograde. That's for the little geeky ones out there that go, ooh, wow, geeky technique.
How long does it take for all of this information to soak in? I'm telling you, I have been trying to study astrology off and on my whole life, and it's like sometimes I just had to put it down.
You know, there's a guy in New York who always calls it the Roach Motel. You get in, but you don't get out, which is, you know, it's a lifelong pursuit. You know, how long do we study cooking? Many lifelongs, yeah. That's why it's great, because it's endlessly interesting, too.
Oh, I've always got it up on my chart, always. Yeah. And every week I tune in to listen and try to learn more. And I appreciate what you guys offer on the table for us.
Thank you so much.
Tell
your friends.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I'll look at me like I'm from outer space half the time.
Yeah,
that's okay.
We are from outer space. Or at least we look at outer space and go, ooh, ooh, outer space.
Or maybe it's inner space.
Right, Mark from the West Side pops in. All right.
Do we have another caller?
We do. Okay. Hi, 701. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Can we help?
Yes. My birth date is 8/1/61. Time of birth, 6:06 p.m. in Tacoma Park, Maryland.
And again, you is 8, what was it?
8/1/61.
61, thank you.
August 1st of 61.
Yep.
In Tacoma Park in Montgomery, Maryland.
Yes, that's right.
And your question?
My question is, I tend to be a chronic overachiever, or at least attempt to be a chronic overachiever. And my chronic overachieverness has me wanting to throw my hands up this week and say, heck, I'm going back to bed. I don't want to do nothing. And
what is wrong with that?
Well, unfortunately, there are people depending on me actually getting off my bum and doing something. Mm-hmm. And
that's definitely the overachieving side.
Mm-hmm. And so I have so many things I want to do and definitely not enough hours in a day to do any of them, or, well, most of them. And so I need to make a decision this week. I'm enrolled in a class that I really, really would like to do and would help me in my work. And but I haven't been able to pay much attention to it earlier this month because of some other activities that got in the way, but they were very important. And my office has suffered because of these other activities as well, and I'm up to past the top of my head with paperwork to do. And my thought earlier today was, okay, I'll concentrate on the class and get caught up on it this week so I won't feel like a dismal failure there, and then next week I'll do all my paperwork. But then I've been listening to you, and I'm like, oh, my God, maybe I should just get out of the class and say someday later when something up there aligns, I'll take the class.
You actually have good aspects for the class. It's not going to be that hard.
These are my sisters that are calling in. They're all Moon and Aries, and we expect a lot out of ourselves, these Moon and Aries. And so the last two women were Moon and Aries, like me, and I feel for you. And I think I recognize this voice.
I bet you do.
The pattern, you know, part of it is letting yourself do your best rather than do it perfectly. And
can't be perfect and everything.
You know, but that perfect is an illusion that you can let go of.
You got Mars in Virgo and Pluto in Virgo. Pluto in Virgo. You're having Pluto trine Pluto. You're supposed to let go of it. Yeah.
You're supposed to let go of it. And to really give the class to yourself, if it's something that you really love and it's in your work, that to give that class to yourself, don't worry about it doing perfectly. Worry about finding it fascinating. just let yourself find it fascinating. And there's a lot of other people that are counting on you, but they will accept your boundaries if you put them out there. And this really is your time. You've just let go of a huge chunk of family karma work. And now it's your turn.
Well, I'm looking at the Virgo Mars, the Pluto, the trine to Pluto. And, you know, I see that. I'm always like, well, I had a therapist, and she was very helpful because she said to me, just do the thing and then look at it and go, I could do better than that. And then let it go. You've acknowledged you could do better, but you did the best you could, and it's off your plate. And I'm like, really? I can say that? She goes, well, the whole issue with perfection is you're trying to make it better. So just look and say, yeah, I could do better than that. But I'm not going to right now because I got all this other stuff I want to go do, you know. And so give yourself permission to go do it. You are having great aspects for the class. That would be the last thing I would dump. I would keep the class because it's actually part of your reward for what you're doing. And it looks really hard right now. But the requirements, once you're in it, aren't going to be that bad. It's just looking scary because you're behind.
At the first part of February, I'm starting a large research project, and I'm pushing myself to get it started the 1st of February. Should I not do that? Should I let it go till later?
If I would let go anything, I would let go of the research project.
Oh, my God, don't say that. That's my baby.
I don't think it's a matter of letting it go. It's a matter of postponing it until you can feel really good about how it's done.
Right.
That the class is a reward for you. And the research project will be really exciting when you've got a little bit more psychic room for it.
And anybody have any idea when that might be?
Soon, within 6 months.
Mark, what did you say?
I was going to say stepping aside to take the class might be just what the research project needs. You might be missing one piece. And you don't know it. And it would be very frustrating to continue without that being ready. So don't think of it as... I think when Heather said letting go, she didn't mean dropping it permanently. Rather, let that be the one you set aside.
Yeah, I think the research project needs more percolation time, meaning you're in data gathering mode. And once Saturn gets opposite the Jupiter and maybe gets a little further, or Jupiter gets off the moon, you'll actually have more work for the research project. And that's in the spring. So it'll come in again. It's not gone forever, but it does need, I think it needs a little setting time.
Breathing room.
Breathing room.
Okay. All right.
But you can do whatever you want. You don't have to listen to us.
Sure. I can do whatever I want. I know. It's just.
But just don't deprive yourself of pleasure because you're working too hard. You have to do more work-life balance. You're planting the seeds for the next 12 years. And so the whole goal here is not to sacrifice yourself by taking care of people all the time. It's to say, what makes me happy? It's about being a little healthy selfish and saying, healthy selfish, I need to do this. And I've got that Saturn Jupiter in my sixth house. I love to work because you do. So the working thing is not going to ever go away. It's the playing part that needs a little time in the sun right now. Does that make sense?
Oh, I should tell my husband, take me to Aruba, right?
You got it. Now that is a suggestion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you can't get to Aruba, you can at least enjoy your class.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really feeling very hurtful to think of giving up that class, but yet the non-selfish me was like, oh, give it up. Other people need to sacrifice, blah, 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 and stuff. But,
that's not one of those to do.
Yeah. Now, be healthy selfish, we're calling it.
Yeah, the healthy selfish. Okay.
Healthy selfish
like that
you need Eight. 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, 8 hours of play, and the course is play for you, right?
Oh, my God. 8 hours of play?
8 hours of play a day.
Okay.
That's a healthy balance.
32 hours long.
Yes. Well, eight until you get to 32 hours.
Okay. All
See,
right,
she
well,
likes that idea.
Very...
It's making her really nervous. She's getting giggly, you know. 10 hours of play a day. Take 1 hour of sleep and 1 hour of work. Out. And 10 hours of play. But you get to define play your own way. And for you, work, you know, taking the course is play. I mean, I take classes for my fun, you know, because I love to learn stuff. To me, that's fun. People go, you're taking your course? And I'm like, well, yeah, I think that's fun. Mm-hmm. To find the class is fun, and, you know, you have to do it. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, wow, you guys have been very, very helpful. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Wonderful. Good luck.
Hi, 914. How are you?
Oh, hello.
Hello. You're on the air. Hi. Can we help?
Oh,
we're
great.
Working on getting through as many phone numbers as we can.
Okay.
I'm the switchboard commander today. It's Jupiter and Aries. Pop, pop, pop.
Oh, you're doing a great job.
Good. What's your question?
Well, I have a solar return on Sunday, so I would love you to take a look at that.
Okay.
Oh,
what's your birthday?
Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to
Thank
you.
Thank you. 1:31:79.
And your time?
3:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Oak Park, Michigan, in Oakland County.
In Oakland County instead of Kalamazoo. And where do you live now?
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, okay.
Oh, good news.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be in Brooklyn on your birthday. Hmm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry?
She's going to be in Brooklyn on her birthday.
What about astrology?
I was asked, do you work with astrology?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking, my question is, I guess I just need confirmation. This year I'm thinking of completely dedicating myself to studying astrology. I've already been doing that for a couple of months and thinking I'm right. I have I'm not sure if I have options, but I do have other opportunities possible. I have possibilities. That's it.
Well, I knew, by the way, you gave your location advice that you were familiar with the mechanics of doing charts. And I wasn't surprised looking at Uranus in your 12th house trining your moon to see. It looked like it wasn't just that you had your chart done a lot, it was that you were also interested in working with astrology yourself. Mm-hmm. That you're one of those called people. The astrologers that get far in this life tend to feel like they're picking up something that they were doing in another lifetime and taking it forward. And I feel like you feel like that about astrology, that you're remembering it. You've got a lot to learn, but you're remembering it.
Okay.
Quite intuitive. It's good for you to spend time. The way your chart works with your Venus-Neptune conjunction, your moon in Pisces, to spend time around other astrologers, to study with them, in the room with them, activates you. It's not just book learning for you. It activates something in your mind to work with other people on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You absorb it.
Yeah.
And Anne, what are you saying about with her solar return?
Well, the solar return for Brooklyn has a very, and the British lady's talking, so we'll do fast. It's got a real emphasis on, you know, wanting to really study with the Neptune Chiron in the fifth, kind of giving yourself permission to do the passion and the Uranus and Jupiter in the sixth. And Saturn is first. You know, astrology is, there's a couple different kinds of astrologers. And with you having Saturn on your north node, high in the chart in Virgo, you are a Saturn astrologer as opposed to a Uranus astrologer or a Neptunian astrologer. And you got Saturn angular this year. So it does indicate a real dedication to the craft and the learning of it. And Moon Pluto conjunct in your solar return. you're supposed to be obsessed with something. So what better than to be obsessed with an astrology and to really delve into, I would think, a historical astrology too, because Capricorn, and also physical techniques, because Mercury's in Capricorn this year, like really work on honing your technique skills. And the sun rules the 11th house, which is astrology's house, and it is in your fifth house in Aquarius, joined to Mars and Ceres. So I would find yourself some teachers that you find helpful. And Sun Mars is really giving yourself passion. It's going to really fuel it this year. So I think it's a good idea. And Venus and Sag, you know, in the third, ruler of the charts in the third, again, expanding the mind. Well, it's all back to the mind and the roots, the mind and the roots, and it's finding your work. So I say go for it. Plus, awesome. The eclipse set off your midheaven saying, you know, it's time for you to really get serious about what your career is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
The British lady talked, and she said we're done.
The audience can't hear that, but we hear her.
We hear her.
Speaking
yes.
Whenever our time is up.
She goes, 30 seconds, and she says we're on, but streaming, not streaming. So anyway, this is Access Astrology, three astrologers who gather once a week on the Internet to help you with astrology, answer your questions, take your calls, and also talk about the cosmic weather patterns. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm a New York-based astrologer here at my bright red desk in Upper East Side, Manhattan. And my compadres are?
Speaking, Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. And Mark?
And Mark Waltz. Mark Waltz from New York City on the West Side.
On the West Side.
And tomorrow you'll hear them at 8 o'clock at the Open Center?
Yes, 8 o'clock time shift change. 8 o'clock at the Open Center instead of 6:30. So be there or be square. But if you can't be there, join us next week on the Internet. Take care. Have a great week. Bye.
Okay,
bye.